Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen, the acclaimed podcast series about spirituality through orthodoxy. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, and for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. In line with our mission during this eighth year of broadcasting, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 370, a podcast that, well, connects the dots between the contemporary, the ancient, the spiritual, the physical, the psychological, the emotional. In fact, we put it all together, looking at the very fabric of our being through the most ancient of all spiritual lenses, namely Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armadox look is yours for the taking. Sit back, kick back, relax, and let's take the next step. Well, it's good to have you with us today. I'm recording from the Pasadena studio and hope all is well with all of you. The news: 8 black churches within 10 days burnt down. Wow. 8 black churches. You hear something? Nothing. Yeah. Yeah, where's mainline Christianity today? I'll take it right on ourselves, okay? Where's the Orthodox community? We talk about people suffering in the Middle East. We talk about all of these countries where communism has taken over the people and the churches, and we want the world to react. We want the world to react. Hey, just about a few months ago, we wanted the world to react about an event that happened 100 years ago, a genocide. Hey, how come you guys aren't talking about it? Remember that? I remember going down to Turkish embassies and saying, "We want you to confess. We want you to live up to what you did." Remember going up to American and world politicians and saying, "Hey, recognize what's happened 100 years ago." Guess what? Something's happening right under our noses right now. In plain sight, in plain view. You don't even need to open a history book to see it. It's right on the front page of all of our news. Guess what? 8 black churches in 10 days burnt down. 8 black churches burnt down. 10 days. Right now. Yeah, look at your calendar. 2015. And where are we? Where is the Christian presence? Where is the Orthodox community today? I'm talking about it. Gay, guess what? The Muslims have been, the Islamic community, the Muslims have gotten up some funds, sending it over to help the black churches. I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about this in a few minutes because I'm very hurt right now. I've got to tell you that. I mean, there comes times in every priest's life where he questions what he's doing. And this is one of those big moments. What am I doing as a clergyman, as a priest of the Armenian Church, when my own church is silent about the things that matter in the world. Remember Dr. King's beautiful statement. He said, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And there's a big silence right now. There's a big, big silence right now. I'm going to share with you a few things coming up in a few minutes, but I do want to share with you, well, when we didn't stay silent. Hey, if you remember just like a couple months ago on April 24th, while most of the world was out there and saying, hey, let's remember something that was that happened 100 years ago, we said at In Issues, let's do something about what's going on in the world right now. And so we geared our efforts toward Syrian refugee relief. We connected with our friends in Darfur, in Chad, Darfuri refugees. We connected with them. And we also did a live broadcast with our friends in Karabakh, in Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh, where landmines some 20, 25 years after a war are still killing and maiming people. And I am very, very pleased to tell you that yesterday I received just this beautiful, beautiful message. And I'm going to share it with you because I know you, our Next Step listeners, are responsible for it, okay? Here goes. Listen to it. I mean, it's pretty cool. It comes from Amy Curran, who is from the Halo Trust. It says, on behalf of Halo Trust and Landmine Free Artsakh, thank you for supporting humanitarian landmine and UXO removal in Nagorno-Karabakh. With the support of In His Shoes and the live webcast you hosted, we have raised $15,000, which will allow us to make Jartar village safe from cluster munitions. It will take 7 weeks to clear the village so that 3,000 villagers can live and farm safely. Imagine that. Imagine that. 3,000 villagers are going to be affected. Not bad, huh? Yeah, something happened 100 years ago. Not much you can do about it. But guess what? Something's happening right now and we're doing something about it. Anyway, side commentary. Sorry about that. The summer is most productive time of year for demining in Karabakh, and we started the project July 1st. Jartar village is in Martuni region, built in the 16th century and set amid picturesque mountains, valleys, and fruit orchards. The village was bombed during the war of 1992-94. It's about 23, 24 years ago, leaving behind cluster munitions, which failed to detonate at the time of impact and still threaten villagers as they grow vegetables, harvest fruit, and graze their animals. Can you imagine? You just want to live. That's all. You want to go and pick up a vegetable. And there's a fear that you might get blown up. Imagine that. Suren Rogasyan and his family will directly benefit from clearance of Jartar. Suren is a beekeeper whose annual income is approximately $2,000. After clearance, Suren plans to expand his work into the area now contaminated with bombs. He hopes the extra hives will help pay for his son's wedding. Thank you for being a vital part of this life-saving project. Together we can achieve a safe Nagorno-Karabakh that is free from deadly remnants of war, one village at a time. Sincerely, as I said, Amy Curran from Halo Trust. Pretty cool, huh? That's doing something about it. A simple webcast. Your contributions, your donations, your actions. And that's what it's all about. It's not more complicated than that. And each of us has to do our part, whether we talk about it, whether we walk about it, whether we contribute to it, we write a letter, we stand up and we lift some logs, we lift some soil, whatever it is. Each of us has to do something. Remember our Lord's words. He says, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Who are my sisters? Those people who hear the word of God and do it. Yeah. And do it. very important part of the equation. It's not enough just hearing and saying, hey, I'm a good Christian. Hey, look at me. And we've got a little bit too much of that action going on lately. And we see this throughout, especially in some of the more historical churches, let's say some of the older churches, including ours, including the Armenian church. And we have to make that bridge. You have to be able to move beyond all the ornaments and the hoopla, because at the end, it's about that silence that Dr. King talks about. That's what you'll be remembered for. Not the work of the enemies, but the silence of our friends. You can't be silent. You don't want to be remembered for that. You ever seen that iconic picture of Dr. King walking during the march in Selma? You ever seen that picture with the Greek Orthodox bishop standing next to him? Hey, listen, 50, 60 years afterwards, look at that picture. Guess what? At that point in history, that Greek Orthodox bishop was standing next to Dr. King. And don't get me wrong, it's not about standing next to Dr. King that's important. What's important is at that moment in history, he was standing up against the injustices, against the inequality. He was standing up for civil rights. It's important. At that moment in history, you are there. It's important in this moment in history, when things happen all around us. I'll be sharing with you some things that are just happening right outside of our houses, because we look all over the world. It's happening right there. And we're not talking about it. We need to be talking about it. Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, is where it's at, because it's not about the past. It's not about the hoopla. It's not about all the ornaments and the bells and the whistles and the candles. It's about a deep-seated faith in Jesus Christ as liberator, Jesus Christ as one who saves us. Not because we have some guarantee of some place in some future life, because it's a salvation for tranquility in this life, in the life that we have right now, and a harmony that we can find. I'm going to take a break right now, play a song of the day. I'll be back in a couple minutes, okay?
Եմ պատվիրել Սայր իմ և քո պայմանը Միմյան շպիտ նվիրել Քո պատուհանի գոգին Սիրո խոսքեր եմ փորագրել Մի քանի տարի Նից երկեր եմ կառուցել Բայց թույլ որ սիրելիս խոստով ամեն Միակ ես ինձ համար եղել ու մնացել Ու պարզ է որ միակն է իր Որին ես կան երկեր եմ նվիրել ու գրել Լուր ափսոսանքը անվերջ երազանքը Դարձան իմ առօրյան տխուր Կարզամանքը կնքուշ համլակրանք էլ չկան, էլ չկան Կես գիշերայի գնացքը ինձ տարավ կայարանից Մի քանի գավատ գինին ուղեկցի ինձ ճանապարին Կրտանում պահում եմ, կոմ վերջին ժպիտ մինց վստաված, դրված Երբ եմ հանում եմ, երկար նայում, կնում հանգստացած, խաղաված Լուր ափսոսանքը, անվերջ երազանքը, դարձան իմ առօրյան տխուր Չկան Չկան Ուրջ երազանքը դարձան իմ առօրյան տխուր Նոր համարանքը, խելագար զարմանքը Կնգուր շամակրանքը չկան Լուր ապսոսանքը, անվերջ երազանքը դարձան իմ առօրյան տխուր
That was a little Gore Mkhitaryan, of course, yes. I'll put a link on our show notes to, well, not only this song, but all of his music at Gore Music. Do check him out. And got a new project coming up. And I'm hoping that we can make it an In His Shoes project. Any takers out there? We're looking for a sponsor. Hey, you can... I mean, this would be kind of cool, right? Be responsible for Gore's next hit album, yeah? Drop me a line, feedback@epostle.net. Of course, Gore Mkhitaryan. Can't get any better than that. Hope you enjoyed it. During the last week, I had a lot of opportunity to reflect on what's going on within the church and what's not going on within the church. Somebody came up to me the other day, and this was interesting because it just came straight up to me, and he says, "Look at what's going on in Yerevan. The people standing up for their rights, their need for electricity, and look at what the oligarchs, look at what the government, their reaction is." And, well, why is he telling me this? He says, "Where's the voice of the church?" He says, "You see what the problem is? The church is not standing with the people." I'm just like listening to him. He says, "Not one clergyman came out and talked about." Well, yeah, excuse me. I mean, just because you can't see beyond your nose and you're going to start, you know, clumping me into with all the clergymen, but definitely here on the Next Step, we talked about it. We got some reaction. We got people talking about it and we shared it, but it's not enough. I understand what he's saying, okay? I'm just kind of offended because he can't, you know, can't see beyond himself and he's talking about, "Hey, look what's going on over there." But he's absolutely right. The church is quiet on not only these social issues that are happening in America about the burning of the black churches, but they're silent about what's going on right there in Yerevan, in Armenia. And that's tragic. That's tragic. And you have to come up to some conclusion at some point and say that, well, do I belong in this institution? Well, this is a hard one for me because do I belong? Well, obviously I don't. Do I step out of it and then become out on the fringes? I can't do that. Or do I try to effectuate some change from within? That's a difficult one, but it seems to be the course that we're taking right now. Several years ago, I've shared this with you. I believe last week we shared with you some articles from Window, View of the Armenian Church. This is back in the 1990s when my friend Harach Chilingirian and myself, we put together the Window, and it was an analytical, it was commentary, it was a critique on the Armenian Church. And it became very important at that time to talk about where we are stationed, were we inside the church or outside? And we couldn't be outside the church because then you're on the fringes and then you're this, you're compartmentalized, you're marginalized. And you say, well, you know, these are people that are on the outside. No, we were right inside. And so too, even with the Next Step, I'm right in the inside. And that's why I go through all the pains. I know you get tired of hearing that, but at the very beginning, it's very important for me to state that I am a priest of the Armenian Church. That to me is my title. I am a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'm not talking from outside the group. I'm talking from within and telling you that things aren't happening. Jesus Christ said one thing, and here we are, doing all kinds of other things. This isn't to say that the church isn't moving and doing some right things, but there are places where we need to start showing ourselves, becoming the voice of the poor, becoming the voice of the disenfranchised, becoming the voice of the oppressed. And certainly we have enough opportunities to become that voice, to become the legs, to become the hands of those people in need. Yesterday I was with a family. They had a set of twins. And one of the boys was a miracle baby in the sense that he wasn't supposed to be born. He was supposed to have died during childbirth. And he survived. Beyond the expectation of the doctors and every skilled professional that was in the place who had given him, are you ready for the chances that they gave him? They gave him a zero. Zero. Yes, you heard me right. Zero chance of survival. Wow. So I saw him yesterday. He's 5 years old. He's fine. He's running around. A lot of energy. A lot of love. Talks, but he does have some autistic tendencies. He's been diagnosed as autistic. He does have some issues, emotional. He did have some physical issues. And the father was sharing with me his beautiful insight and testimony about the healing power of God and how God talked and shared this power with him. In other words, he saw that miracle. He saw the formation of his son in front of him. And he's been changed. And obviously, religious experiences such as these go beyond questioning because they happen to the person. And for that person, it is more than real. It is definite. It's, you're not going to change his mind. But sometimes what we do is we take our religious experiences and we try to change other people's mind. And he told me he had shared this story with some atheists about his faith in God and how God had reached out to him and helped him during this time. And he said one of the atheists turned to him and said that, is this the kind of God that you have who gives you partial miracles? Not complete, because after all, your son isn't complete. There's some problems with him. He's autistic. He has some difficulties. He's not complete. So it's not a perfect miracle. What kind of God is this who doesn't give you perfect miracles? I was just shocked. Yeah, of course, not shocked at the answer. I mean, not shocked that somebody would ask that question. Of course, that's normal, right? That's normal. People are going to ask those kind of things. But I'm kind of shocked of our response to that. That we would even agree with that. I mean, who's to say what is normal? I mean, God has given a perfection of a little child who is talking to all of us through that autism. Yeah. Through his motions, through his energy. And I think that this is where we need to start looking. That what is this normal that we talk about? All of us have some kind of issues. I mean, I always say that. I think it was a hashtag of mine last year sometime. I used to be normal, now I'm better, you know? It's like, I used to be normal. I mean, you know, what is that normal? Yeah, what are you talking about? There is a kid, there is a life, there is a human life who is talking to you, who is sharing with you in different ways. If you can't understand, maybe you're abnormal, right? Maybe you're abnormal that you can't understand that way of communication, right? You ever consider that? I mean, for some reason, when we say normal, we base it on some kind of statistical analysis. In other words, we say the majority of the people are this way. The majority of the people understand and communicate in this manner. So because the majority is there, we will label that as normal. And this is basically definition, right? So if you're outside of the majority, you're abnormal. But that's a relative labeling, isn't it? Right? Yeah, we're going with the majority rules. Okay. But these words and these labels that we slap on people can be devastating. Abnormal. Incomplete. Partial. Why? Everyone is complete. right? Everyone is complete. You come and you argue with some of those people. Have you ever watched the Special Olympics, where the way they run and everything? You tell me that they can outrun us, right? You tell me what's partial about them. Special, that's kind of a nice word. I like that word, special. It's not a negative word. Special. You know, they are special. And so here we are as the Christian church coming together. We come together every Sunday. We worship God. We wear different vestments. And I think most clergy in most denominations wear some kind of vestment, even if it's a sash, even if it's a cap. Whatever it is. I mean, you go into Orthodox churches, Catholic churches, you get more ornate. I watched the video of I don't want to slaughter this title. It's the Catholicos Patriarch of the Armenian Catholics. Catholicos Patriarch. I guess it's a combination of the Catholicos, which is the highest, and then a patriarch, which is a patriarch. You know, the Catholicos is the supreme patriarch and everything. So we got these nice titles and everything. And I was watching the an ecumenical gathering in memoriam of the Catholicos Patriarch just a couple weeks ago. And I was noticing all the different vestments. Very, very impressive. And everybody comes together and they prayed for his soul. And God rest his soul. I want to go on record that I don't know who he is or what he did. I'm sure he was a prolific man who moved a lot of people. And God rest his soul. And may the communities that follow him have their comfort. But on the outside, looking in, you look and you see all of these vestments, and you see Armenian clergymen with their hoods, very, very similar to KKK hoods, except they're in black. Ironically, they're in black, right? And I remember this when I was serving in San Jose. We had a mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, and our Catholicos came. Willie Brown was a black man, African-American, and very loud, I love this guy. He was a major Democrat player in the state of California, and he was the mayor of San Francisco at that time, and the Catholicos of all Armenians came, and he made some derogatory comments about the Armenians because, hey, he was at the airport and you just see a sea of these hoods. And they are basically these pointy head hoods, happen to be in black. And I remember Willie Brown making a comment, which I overheard. And fortunately, the media didn't pick on it because the Armenians are easy targets, you know. I mean, you can't say that about other people, but Armenians, you could talk about Armenians and make some derogatory comment about similarities between the hood and the KKK, and he got away with it, but it was a funny thing. But, you know, you look at all this sea of hoods, and you look at all these different ornaments, and you say, okay, what connection does this have with my life today? This is where we're getting into disenfranchisement, right? Jesus is talking about this simple message of love. Meanwhile, I'm sitting at my house. I've got payments to make. Got to take care of insurance. Put my kids through school. I've got aging parents that I've got to deal with. I've got my own issues. I've got my own psychological issues. My issues health-wise. And all of that going on. And then you tell me to come to this church service. And it's completely different. Completely different from everything else. And meanwhile, something major happens that should affect us as a church. And again, my church fails to say anything about it. And what I'm talking about, of course, is what happened in the South. It began with Charleston Church Massacre. Do you remember that? A couple weeks ago, I spoke about that. And I'm saying remember that. Of course, those of you here in America, of course, it's been on the news, but I don't know how much it's heard on the outside. So I'd love to hear from you if this has made the news. But you know that some guy just walked into the church on a Bible study night and just started shooting people. just started shooting people who were at a Bible study. Now, the ordinarily, you could turn and you could say, well, these people were doing God's work, and all of a sudden they're dead. What kind of God is he? What kind of partial miracle? This isn't even a partial miracle. This is a no miracle. This is, in fact, opposite miracle, right? He should be protecting the people that are at the Bible study. Now, that's what a lot of people did say. Look at that. And what did the people inside say? Can you believe what they would say? Well, a community of faith would answer in a different way. And I want to share with you that community of faith's responses. This is from an ABC News broadcast. I'm going to share with you the responses of people and family of those victims, okay? Listen very carefully. You're going to hear anger? What are you going to hear? What do you expect? Listen up.
Today we heard from the family of accused mass murderer Dylan Roof in a written statement offering their condolences to those who lost loved ones in Wednesday's massacre. We're also hearing from those families, still reeling, of course, and yet proving they're not just relatives of victims. They're people of deep and abiding faith in the aftermath of the tragedy in Charleston.
This is the case of State versus Dylan Roof.
The irony was palpable. This baby-faced, polite Southern man.
You're unemployed at this time?
Yes, sir.
Accused of the most heinous of crimes.
Mr. Roof, you're charged with 9 counts of murder and 1 count of possession of a weapon during the commission of a violent crime.
Facing on a video link the people whose loved ones he allegedly stole.
You took something very precious away from me. For me, I'm a work in progress, and I acknowledge that I am very angry.
Every fiber in my body hurts, and I'll never be the same.
The relatives all off camera, all on point. Faith, love, forgiveness.
You hurt a lot of people, but God forgive you, and I forgive you.
You know, I forgive you, my family forgive you.
We are the family that love built. We have no room for hate, so we have to forgive.
It was what none of us expected, but what all of us hope we're capable of. Even Felicia Sanders, mother to one of the victims, who survived the shooting herself by playing dead.
We welcome you Wednesday night in our Bible study with open arms. You have killed some of the most beautifulest people that I know. Tawanza Sanders is my son, but Tawanza was my hero. Tawanza was my hero. But as we say in Bible study, we enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you.
Outside the court, the daughter of Ethel Lance, addressing the question so many of us were wondering.
The last family is going to be okay. And that's all I have to say.
How did you express forgiveness down there?
I'm a Christian woman. I believe in God.
No matter who or what Dylan Roof was or is, he was not the focus of those who prayed and cried in Charleston this evening. Tonight, the largest vigil so far for the 9 who died.
A hateful, deranged young man took their lives.
Roof allegedly wanted to start a race war. It would appear what he sparked was a revival, a reaffirmation of a nation's promise, not its problem.
Now, how do you want to describe that, huh? Wild? Is that a word? Wild for this? Is that wild? Yeah. That's what Christianity is. It's wild. You're hearing expressions of Christian love. That's what you're hearing. They're not going to label it as that, but that's what it is. That's Christian love. And guess what? That's what Armodoxy is all about. But you don't see that because Armodoxy gets covered up by Armenian Orthodoxy. Gets covered up by all the hoopla that's all out there. It's the bottom layer. It's what Jesus was all about. It's about loving and caring and forgiving. This is unbelievable. What did they say? This is the house that love built. You're not going to shake us. This is the house that love built. Incredible, incredible images. I'm going to put some links on today's show notes. I invite you to get out to those links. Check out what a community of believers, what a community of people. And here we are as Orthodox Christians. Here we are as the ancient church. And we want the world to come and pay attention to, hey, all these things that are happening out there. It's about time that we start paying attention to what's going on in our world. And sadly, our church hierarchy, sadly, our church leadership could care less about anything outside of their realm. And what I'm challenging you and my listeners, next step, you're listening to this. What is that next step? That next step is to walk into these issues, to be at one with the world. Our only hope is when we extend ourselves to one another, when we start seeing what's going on. Because believe me, what's going on in the South, imagine, in 10 days, eight black churches, and people are blaming this. There's some people that, you know, and there is still, the evidence is out on a couple of issues where, you know, maybe it was a lightning strike, but eight churches, lightning striking eight churches, obviously, it's about intolerance. It's not about God just saying, hey, let's get these people. It's about intolerance. It's about hatred and kindled hatred. And these people that are sitting out there, and because the person's skin is different, skin color is different, because the person acts differently, still keeping and harboring those old prejudices. And guess what Orthodoxy does? It continues those prejudices. Because instead of being a church of Christ, we are a church of the people. I mean, listen to the titles that we have. We call it the Black Church, the Armenian Church, the Greek Church, the Russian Church. Yeah, the American Church, you know, the AME. What is that? The African Methodist. Because the churches belong to peoples instead of calling it, well, the Assembly of God. God's Church, Christ's Church. They got the idea. Now, of course, we differ on what we believe. Issues, right? It's fascinating when you get into religion, how much it really moves us apart. I think this is where we get to John Lennon's thing. Imagine there is no religion. It's easy if you can. Yeah, we're all children of God. Can we get that? No, we can't. Because we like to compartmentalize. We like to define. We like to express ourselves in terms of our differences rather than our commonalities. And I'm not talking about commonalities about our faith in God, just our commonality that we are human beings. God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Been waiting for it. I teased you last week, shamelessly teased you, about the Holiness Project. But I needed to do today's prelude before it, okay? You saw what's going on over there. You see where my heart's at. I'm really kind of like sick and tired of all of this hoopla without us being able to say what the message is. And where would Christ be at this moment? Would he be up there wearing a silly hat? Or would he be standing up there and talking with the oppressed? Standing up for the oppressed, reaching out to the oppressed, and guess what? You don't need to wonder what he would do. That's what's interesting. You don't have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know what would Jesus do. He did it. He stood with the oppressed, came up with the people. And now it's our turn as followers of Christ to be able to do that. Okay, so here's the Holiness Project. I teased you with it. Here is the Holiness Project. As you know, and as you've heard on my podcast, I really could care less about politicians. Kind of got sick of these people because one day they'll smile at your face, and the other day they could care less about you. And what happens? Every time there's a crisis in the world, right? Every time there is a crisis in the world, we go to these politicians. And I was talking about this the other day with our friends Gabriel and Katie J. Okay, what about the international peacekeepers? What about the government? We go and appeal to Obama. We say, please help out the people in Chad, right? We go to governments and we ask them for different kinds of assistance and everything. And it depends on where the wind is blowing. Depends who they're allies with, who they're in bed with. And they will give you an answer accordingly. Okay, pretty good. Pretty good. We kind of know the score over there. So if you could play the politics, you could get the politicians to answer you the way you want, right? Yeah, that makes sense. Get in bed with the right people, you can get the right answers, right? How about something else? And I was thinking about this. There are a handful of people in this world, on this entire planet of 8 billion plus, there are a handful of people that have this title, His Holiness. Yeah, most notably, of course, Pope Francis. His Holiness, Pope Francis. His Holiness, the Ecumenical Patriarch, Bartholomew, right? His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, right? Just had a birthday, in fact. Came out and talked about global warming on his birthday, yeah. There's a handful of these people that go by this title, His Holiness. And there are equivalents to them in most every religion, right? Can we find an equivalent among Hindus, among Muslims, among Jews? Can we find these equivalent guys and appeal to them for the one thing that they all talk about? World peace. Right? Ultimately, isn't that your motive? Isn't that your motive to get to peace? And here we are. We're appealing to people who have fingers on these buttons, who have guns and weapons, these politicians who are swayed by money. And this is not to say that religious leaders aren't swayed by money, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm going by the textbook definition of it, okay? These politicians are out there, and we keep appealing to them for peace. How about appealing to these people that are the His Holinesses? Yes, sadly, there are no Her Holinesses. Yeah, not that I know of, and I'd love to hear, but I don't know of any Her Holinesses. But what if we were to appeal to them to have a G8 summit, to have a G20 summit, to be standing over there and call it the H20 summit, and sit down and give a message of peace that is united globally? This is what I want to work on. In his shoes. When we're talking about it, this is the Holiness Project. When we're talking about reaching out to people, let's do it with the weapons that we have. The weapons of choice, not the weapons that will tear down, but the weapons of love, of nurturing, of caring, of having hope, faith, and love. I think there's something to be said about that, and I think we can do it, okay? So now you, the next step in the listeners, have heard it, okay? It's documented today. July 9th. Happy birthday, Mom. This is it. Today, we are saying the His Holiness Project begins with this declaration, appealing to faith, hope, and love. That's it. I'm going to be back next week. I'm going to share some more ideas because this is going to start expanding. We're going to blow this up, okay? You ready for it? I hope so. And I hope you'll be with us. Anyway, here's Susie to tell you how you could be more with us.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Okay, you on board with me or not? This is it. This is the time. We need people to be supportive of our efforts. Sure, through epostle.net, through In His Shoes. And let's not be scared to talk about these terms. Let's get the word out. Help me get the word out, because I really believe that this is where our hope and our salvation is. I'm not talking about some kind of grandiose plan. I'm talking about a very simple grassroots effort of getting the message of faith, hope, and love out there. And don't be scared to use these words, In His Shoes. You know, oh, In His Shoes. No, In His Shoes is God's message to us, right? God wanted to feel the pain of His creation. He got in the shoes of humanity through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the expression of God walking in the shoes of human beings. That's how simple it is. Can you walk in the shoes of others? Can you walk in the shoes of a black man who's just seen his church devastated and then forgives? Wow! We heard it a few minutes ago, right? Can you walk in the shoes of somebody who's being told that you have a child, but it's a partial miracle? We just heard it a few minutes ago. Can you do that? Can you reach out to somebody who has been hit by war? Somebody who is going through depression, poverty? So many opportunities. That's what In His Shoes is about. Can we hit the big people, the ones that we call His Holiness, that wear all those hoopla gowns and outfits and stuff like that, that get up on, make these one statement things about have compassion? Okay, do you want to have compassion? Here's a place where we can have compassion. Let's have compassion and let's get together and work together towards that world peace. Talk about it. You talk a good talk. Can we do it? I'm counting on you. Get this word out. It's very easy. Not only in your financial support, keep us in your prayer life. Every day, you got to pray for Apostle. You got to pray for In His Shoes. You got to get the message out. Put it up on your Facebook page. Say, hey, listen, I just heard this podcast. Listen to it. You got to put it up. You got to send it out by email to your friends. And not be scared. I can't tell you. Not a week goes by, somebody will come up to me and tell me, oh, yeah, I heard your podcast here and there. Places that I would never expect it. So I know people are listening. It's just, can we get this word out? Can we create the buzz that we should be creating? Okay? I'm going to leave it in your hands for right now. Actually, I'm leaving it in God's hands. I know He's directing us, and I'm so glad that you are with us on this journey of walking in His shoes. I'm going to call it a day for right now. Got some exciting things going on, and going to wait till next week to share with you part two of this opening up of all this excitement. Listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to invite you to our Facebook page, to inhisshoes.org. Get involved with us wherever you can, and we'd love to hear from you. feedback@epostle.net. For the crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.